Turn your Bibles, if you would. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Pardon the sniffles. I am anatomically really, really, really messed up. My feet, they smell. So if you invite us over for pizza, don't get upset if I take my shoes off, okay? All right? And my nose, it runs. But anyway, so somebody said, I don't get it. Well, you'll catch it later. All right, okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, that was read just a little bit ago. Brother Steve, appreciate that. Interesting word in that verse. Anybody catch? There's just kind of a strange word in there. Just really odd. Really, really, really odd. Anybody catch that word? Anybody know? Anybody catch that word that's in there? Just an odd word. Really, really, really odd. It's the word cold. Think with me. When this scripture was written, how many refrigerators, refrigeration, had it been invented yet? No, it hadn't been invented yet. Okay. Yes, they knew what ice was. And by the way, in Israel, it gets cold there. All right. David speaks of the snow. All right. And so it does get cold in Israel. But that word cold, and it's talking about a cup of cold water. You know, in giving this cup of cold water, if this cold water maybe, was it seasonal? No, I don't think so. I think that cup of cold water could have been given at any time. So it wasn't seasonal, right? Was it geographical? Cooler part of Israel? No, I don't think so. Okay. By the way, these scriptures are written for us today. Amen. All right. And so that word cold. Now we find that word again later in Mark, and it uses, it's almost word for word that same verse, but the word cold is not in there. It's the only time a reference in what it's talking about right here that cold is used. I want to look at something tonight. Let's go ahead and read the verse again, and then we'll go on. It says, for whosoever should give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Father, we ask that you bless our time this evening, and Father, help us to glean from this and to be prepared for that cup of cold water in the days that we live in. A lot of people thirsty. But I want to, Lord, if you'd help me to bring it into the context of what the verse is referring to, and help me with that. And we just ask these in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we have another drink that we find in the book of John in chapter 4. It's a lady at the well. And there's two kinds of drinks that we find in reference that Samaritan lady at the well. She was thinking about, is it okay if I walk around? Yes? Okay. I work with kids, man. If you chain me to this pulpit, I'm going to lose my mind. Okay? All right? And so what Jesus, when he went there to the well, he's talking to that lady, and she's thinking water. She's thinking H2O. By the way, if you ever get a bottle of water, you should shake it up because the contents could settle in time. Shake it up, get the H's and 2's and O's all mixed up, okay? All right? And so if you want to have some fun the next time you go to a restaurant, if you order water and the lady or the whoever brings the water to you, just look at them and say, now, is this water new or used? It is funny. It is funny the looks you get and sometimes the answer. And by the way, the answer that all water is used water. All right? Okay? But anyway. So she's thinking in temporal terms. She's not thinking in spiritual terms. She's thinking only a drink of water that's going to quench her thirst for just a bit, a moment, a time. Is it kind of funny? We eat and we say, I'm finished. I'm done. Liar. You'll be back. All right. So it's a temporal thing. It's not lasting. But Jesus was speaking of a drink of water in what? Eternal terms. All right. So we find two different drinks of water there in John chapter 4. But I want to look at this drink of cold water. As we look at scriptures here in Matthew chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ is in public ministry. He's dealing with individuals. He's dealing with crowds. What is he doing? Well, he's healing folks and he's delivering folks in chapter 9. But in verse 10, the Lord kind of really just kind of narrows it down, and he's dealing with, in chapter 10, not verse 10, but in chapter 10, he's dealing with his disciples. In chapter 10, he's instructing and he's commissioning. And then all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like he just makes a hard right turn. Yeah. And it goes to verse 42. And verse 42, it's what we just read. And he talks about giving this cup of cold water to who? A child. All right? And that's what I want to look at tonight. Giving a cup of cold water to a child. How did they get a cup of cold water then? Well, again, if it was a seasonal thing, yeah, I can understand that. You know, it's cold in the house. We spend a lot of time in Mexico, especially northern Mexico, and their houses are all concrete down there, and they don't have heaters in them. And when it gets cold, that concrete gets cold, it holds the cold, and I'm telling you what, it's cold, all right? It's just miserable cold inside those homes. And we could get in Mexico, you know, everybody thinks of being hot down there. Well, I'm telling you what, it gets cold down there. But we get a cup of cold water then. But in these scriptures, that cup of cold water, how'd that happen? Well, just go along with me a little bit. Maybe they had to hire somebody to run down to the well, down to the spring, down to the brook, down to the, I don't think the river, possibly, okay? And they would maybe pay someone to run that errand, or they themselves would take care of that errand. But I can't imagine them doing it, because you would kind of get this idea that maybe they're entertaining this young person, but they want to give them a cup of cold water. So perhaps they paid someone to go down there, and they take the bucket, and they drop the bucket down in the well. Well, the bucket will sink if you can jiggle it around enough, get enough water in it, and now it loses its buoyancy and does sink. But that bucket, as it fills with water and begins to sink, that bucket is full of surface water, which is warm. In order to get cold water, they've got to let that bucket down far enough to get to what's called thermocline. You've probably been in a creek, or you've been someplace swimming and the water is warm, and you stick your toe down and go, "Ooh, it's cold down there." Well, that's because your toe stuck down to thermocline. That is that place where the cold sinks and the heat rises. Well, you get that bucket down there deep enough, and the hot water in the bucket will be replaced, heat rises, will be replaced with the cold water that will take its place.
All right.
So somebody had to spend some time. Somebody had to have some ingenuity. So maybe some expense was involved. This was not a freebie. This cup of cold water, because it says cold, is not a freebie. There are some investments made prior to the cup of water actually been given. I'd like to look at some things. Turn in your Bible, if you would, in Matthew chapter 18. We'll not read all of these. I know that probably most of you are familiar with them, but I'd like to read this one. Again, the Lord is working with his disciples. But in Matthew chapter 18, and by the way, this is in context of the Lord working still with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 through 6, it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now that's in context, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're asking about their in context in terms of salvation. And the Lord Jesus is using a child to help them to understand how that comes about, what that's all about. In Matthew chapter 19, though, we see something a little different. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then were there brought, by the way, what we just read happened in verse 18. Anybody here guilty of short memory? Okay. Any of you who are guilty of short memory, you're behind the steering wheel in your car, and that guy, and you say, idiot! And you go a quarter mile down the road and you do something worse. But you forgot about him. Anybody guilty? Just me. Okay, all right. Just me. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, 15. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And they said, get these little brat heathens out of here. Don't bother the master. Leave him alone. Go away. He doesn't want to have, he's not interested in them. We need real people here. What were they thinking? Have you ever thought that? What were you thinking? Are these not people yet? That's a thought. Okay. Why were they so offended? Why were they so bothered? Why were they so... And then we find that again in Mark. We find it in Luke. We even find, and people say, well, it's not in the in John. Well, okay, I'll maybe come to that to another day, all right? But I want to look at tonight the price of a cup of cold water and bring it into context of how things are happening today. But before I do... Is it okay if I set something on this table? Yes or no? Do we need to take a church vote? You say, why are you asking? Oh, trust me, folks. I've been in lots of places. Okay? Doing that could be sacrilegious. But anyway, I just have to get my props up. Okay? Bear with me. The secret ingredient, which you didn't see, I hope. All right? So, a cup of cold water. Anyone can give a drink. Anyone can give a drink. But I want to look at something tonight. I want us to envision a dishpan. Okay? And it's full of cold dishwater. There's still some bubbles from the soap that's on top. But what I want us to focus on right now is the fact that we had spaghetti. And we've got some spaghetti noodles floating in there. And we had some mixed vegetables too. Some corn and some carrots and some peas, and some of that's floating around in there too. Tomato sauce. We had meatballs. And there is a ring of grease in our dishwater. You got a good picture of that now? You ever seen that before? Yeah. The world tonight, that's what they're giving our children. The world tonight is giving our children a sickening drink. The world tonight is giving them a drink that is not going to quench any thirst. The world tonight is giving our children a drink that is, it's horrid. It's vile. It's filth. It's sickening. I think we'd all agree with that. And the world tonight, and the world tonight is giving our children that drink unashamedly. They're not one bit ashamed about it. In fact, they're actually quite proud of it. They do so without reservation. They're pretty keen on the whole idea. And by the way, they give it in a disposable container because your child is disposable. They're just a tool. They're just an instrument. They're nothing to them. But they're very good at what they do. You say, now how is that? Well, I want to show you something else. Just kind of really bring it to home. This drink that the world is giving tonight, it's tantalizing. You say, that's tantalizing? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because our children have got their faces in the bowl and they're sucking up the water. You say, they are not. Oh, yes, they are. I'll show you in just a moment. You say, well, nobody would drink out of that. They just do a little something, and I'll show you. It's tantalizing, yet it's tainted. It's very tantalizing. It's turbid, cloudy, but tolerable. It's touched with fact and fantasy. Have you ever read the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin? If you haven't, you should. Is an excellent story. It's a very good story. And I would encourage you all to read it. In fact, you could read it to your children. All right? Okay? And so you say, well, nobody in their right mind would drink out of that. There it is. That's the drink of the world. And our kids can't get enough of it. They're addicted to it. They run to it. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a drink that the world offers. And this bottle is full of toxins. You say, is this a health food commercial? Yes and no. But I would recommend you ladies read the labels. You say, well, I don't drink Mountain Dew. Beside the point. I'm telling you tonight, our children love the taste of the world. The world is very, very slick in what they're doing. And the world has the attention of our children. Oh, yes. Folks, we've been at this a long time. I can give you first name children who spend time in front of television sets in this church. I can give you first name of children who spend time on devices in this church. I can. You say, how do you know? Been at this a while, right? I'm telling you, our children dive for this. By the way, you read the ingredients on this. How slick is the world? How corrupt is the world? How evil is the world? Last ingredient, color number 5. Tartrazine. Tartrazine, poisonous, cannot be made non-poisonous. And that's what the world offers. They're addicted to it. You say, no, you're talking about those children out there. Folks, without this, they have no hope. None. Without this church, without this Bible, without God's people, they have absolutely no hope. But I want us tonight to look at our drink that we offer. The Lord Jesus was talking about two different drinks. In the book of Jude, it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Folks, we need to make a difference. The world is doing everything they can do to make a difference. You know, we read in scriptures how things were going to change, right? Is it me? Is it just me? I am shocked how much our world has changed in 3 years. Stunned. Shocked how much it changed. And listen, we're not just local travelers. We travel worldwide. We've been all over the world. We've been in 33 different countries, and we spend time in countries. We don't go a week or two trips. No, we stay there for long periods of time. We get used to the culture. We get used to the way things are. It is shocking to me. Shock. I'm amazed how the world has changed in 3 years. By the way, COVID was a planned event. You say, that's your opinion. That's my opinion. You're right. You got it. Okay, opinions are like armpits. People generally typically have two, and they usually stink, okay? But anyway, there's my opinion. But the world has changed, all right? And it's gone crazy. But I want us, we know what the world has to offer. And listen, if I was to set this bottle or a Coke, okay? Maybe your children, they don't drink Mountain Dew, whatever this stuff is, okay? But I place a Coke there and a glass of water. Most children, our children, which one would they go to? They'd go to the Coke. They'd go to the soft drink. Yes, they would. Nod your head. Yes. Amen. If we put out a plate of candy here and a plate of some oh yes, Brussels sprouts. Woo-hoo-hoo. Which one are they going to go to? Oh, come on. How many of you kids like Brussels sprouts? Yes, Luca and me are in. Who's that back there? I don't know your name yet. I got to go find out. What's your name? Do you have a name? What is it? Olivia. Where are they? Do you know where they're at? You got them? Louis, right? You have them? Well, you need to give them back to her. Your teeth, girl, they're gone. Okay, Olivia. All right. Do you understand what I'm saying? The world has their attention. The world has their People desire the things of the world. Why? Because it's exciting. It's fun. It's fresh. It's new. It's full of life. It's dynamic. It is colorful. It's eventful. It's just, isn't it easy to get attracted to that? It is. It is. Christmas is coming. What attracts people more to it? You know what? It's the tinsel. It's the light. It's the deco that draws us to that. And the world, they know how to package it. That's their drink. Will this quench? No. In fact, what it does is produces more thirst. Does not quench thirst. You need more. I need more. I want more. I've got to have more. Right? That's the drink the world offers. What drink do we offer? What drink do we offer? We need to offer cold water. How do we do that? How do we compete with this? How do we do that? Can we do that? Is it possible to do that? It is. But can I tell you, church, and what I'm about to say is not an indictment on you, okay? All right? We're losing. We're losing. We're losing. Why? Because we're letting the world give the drink. It's temporal. Oh, yes, we understand it has eternal endings. Not good. Not good. So how can we offer a cold drink? You know what we need to do? First off, it needs to be clean. Amen? The vessel needs to be clean. We need to be clean vessels. Not tainted. Not polluted. Not vile. Clean vessels. We need to be. And what we need to offer the drink in is a clean vessel. Attractive vessel. Not, look, don't give a drink this way. By the way, it won't hold water. Don't do that. You know, folks, if you have opportunity, give a drink in a real glass. Make the expense. Take the initiative. I want to look at two words tonight that I think can help us in this spiritual battle of which we're vying back and forth for the hearts and souls and lives of our children and folk and people in ministry. I want to look at two words tonight. And the first word I want to look at is initiative. So I looked up the definition of initiative. So it is the ability to assess and initiate things independently. Use your initiative, imagination, and common sense. All right? And that's a good definition. But when I read this next definition, this definition stunned me. Listen to what this definition says. The power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. Let's not surrender any more ground. Let's not let the world give them their first drink. We need to offer the first drink. You know what? If we offer the first drink, they don't know this exists. They don't. Okay? There are tastes that we get used to because we just get accustomed to it. And those tastes that we get accustomed to, it no longer, we become desensitized to those tastes. And it just becomes commonplace. And the idea, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, you know something? Not everybody else needs to be doing it. Amen? And so, first off, taking the initiative, if you have opportunity and you want to give a drink, and you say, are you talking about actual water? Yes? No. We're talking about taking the opportunity to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be a help, to be a guide. Amen. And the things of God. You know, they say, you know, people come to us all the time and they say, you know, our young people, you know, they're turning 18 and we tell them, oh, they didn't leave at 18. They left at 8. They could just physically leave at 18, but they checked out at 8 years old. Why? It's that drink. And so if you have opportunity, always take the upper road. You know, sometimes it's easy, you know, in God's work, you know, to be more frugal. Well, maybe if you have opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, let's not think about frugality. Let's not do that. Look, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Which cup would you give him? Amen? So which cup does Ruth deserve? We know, don't we? Yes, we do. Which cup does Nova deserve? This one. You want this one? You can have it. No, you probably chew it up, aren't you? My point is, look, folks, let's not think about frugality. If we're talking about ministry, you know what ministry is? It's you and I doing without so that somebody else might have. And so you know what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you talent. It's going to cost you imagination. It's going to cost you. By the way, ministry that costs you nothing is not ministry. It is not. Don't make claim to that if it costs you nothing, because it isn't. The Lord Jesus Christ came to minister, and what did it cost him? Everything. Everything. And those disciples that followed him, guess what? What did it cost them? Everything. Everything. That's our example. You know what it ought to cost us? Everything. You say, yeah, but we have this, you know, we've got to, don't make excuses for yourself. By the way, God says you take care of his business and he'll take care of your business. Amen. But many times we get all wrapped, we as adults get all wrapped up in taking care of our business. And others fall by the wayside. We need some initiative. We need to take the initiative before the world takes initiative. And folks, they already have. They've already done that, okay? So, you need a clean vessel. And so, now that I've all smudged it all up already, okay? So, it says that the power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. We have lost the initiative and allowed our opponents to dictate the subject. So I looked up some synonyms for initiative: action, push, leadership, drive, vigor, resource, spunk. Get up and go. And that's talents and time and treasures. We need some spizzarinktum. And you say, that's not a word. Well, you can fact check me later. Yes, it is. All right? Okay. And so we need some initiative. We need some God's people to say, you know what? I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to do this. Why? Because people are worth it. Nothing else is, but people are worth it. Amen? And so we need to have a clean vessel. But then it says coal, right? Well, how are we going to get coal these days? We're going to have to add some ice. Now, if we have opportunity, let's just not give a little ice. Let's give a lot of ice. And let's use pretty ice. Let's use attractive ice. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about ice that's the right size that if you wanted to, you could chew on it. Any ice chewers in here? There you go. Something weird with you people. Okay. You say, how do you know? I like to chew ice too. It takes one to know one. Amen? So we need a good, clean vessel, but we're going to have to take some ice. And, you know, that takes some time. That takes some planning. That takes some initiative. That takes some expense. Bar no expense. None. Stop cutting corners in ministry. Don't do that. They're cutting no corners. They pay people at this place. This is a multi-billion dollar interest. A $50 bill and a $20 bill and a $5 bill and a $1 bill. We're all talking. And they were saying, so where all of you been? And the $50 bill said, listen, I've been to the finest restaurants in Houston and in New York and in London. Oh. And they asked, and the $20 bill said, you know what? I've been to a few of those places myself. They asked the five, and it got down to the one, and the one said, I've been to every independent Baptist church in the country. We laugh, but God's work, we should not cut corners. We should not do that. And then, what do we need? Some good, clear, clean, pure water. Ah, yes. Anybody thirsty? Even the glass is frosted up. Oh, yeah. How many of you remember going to A&W? And getting a frosted mug. Oh. These young people in here have no idea. And my dad would always order the baby mug, but I always wanted the papa mug. Amen. Okay. And you say, oh, I like A&W root beer. It's not the same. That's good. Amen. I want us to think tonight. Initiative. Initiative, what else do we need? We need some enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, intense and eager enjoyment or interest or approval. I looked up some synonyms. Ardor, fervor, passion, zeal, intense emotion, compelling action. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, it says, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." And so in the times of that scripture, a Roman soldier came up to a Jewish citizen and said, "Pick up my load." By law, that person had to pick up that load and walk a mile. By law. Wasn't not an option. Well, yeah, there was an option. But the consequences of not doing it far wasn't. It would have been more pleasant to pick up the load and walk the mile. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, do. So at the end of that mile, most Roman soldiers knew that that fellow in the end of this mile, he's going to set that down. He said, how would they know at a mile? In Rome, all the roads, and still you go to Europe this day, and the mile markers are still there. They're still there. And so the Roman soldier knew at the end of the mile that, you know, he's on his own. Now he's got to carry that load or wait for somebody else to come along and get him to carry that load. But the Lord said, carry it too. Could you imagine what it did to a Roman soldier? Or that man that he's carrying that load, they hated those people. They hated each other. They despised each other. Roman soldier had no qualms at all of killing those people. And for that person to take that load to walk the second mile, I said, why are you doing this? Because I care for your soul. I care for you. What are you talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the one that you thought you killed, you did not. He laid down his life for you. And I want you to know that I care for you. I want you to know that I even appreciate you. Because if it weren't for Rome, there'd be some other country here and they would be killing us. We're Jewish, don't you know? That second mile. Folks, we need to go that second mile. Are we commanded? Mm-mm. By the way, if we go the first mile, what have we done? We've just done our duty. Ministry's not duty. Ministry's people. Ministry is others. Ministry is me doing something for someone who they might even not even like me. They might when they go home tonight even talk about me. That's okay. But you know, ministry is others. It's others. We say, well, don't you think we should be serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I think he made that very clear. When we serve others, we are serving him. So tonight, this is what the world is offering your children. What are you offering them? Listen, I'm glad you have them in Sunday school. I'm glad you have them here tonight, and I hope that you bring him back Wednesday night. And I'm glad that you have children's church, and I'm glad that you do all that stuff. Can we do more? Can we? Now, I know that class on Thursday night is for those folks who are in children's ministry. But can I tell you something, church? I don't know what this man did for a living. I have no idea. But you know something? We're leaving behind the older generation. You young couples, can I tell you something? You can learn something. How long have you been married?
52 years.
Listen to me, young couples. The world doesn't want you married. And the world is doing everything they can possibly do to make sure that you don't get married. And you know, they say that, divorce rates are down. Well, you can't get a divorce if you're not married in the first place. Marriage is old hat. Marriage is old school. No, you can learn something from them. Amen. Amen. We're not tapping into the gray hair or no hair. We're not. And can I tell you something? There are some resources sit here that could help you in your class. What'd you do for a living? A machinist. You know what? That is a very exacting business. Does the Bible talk about anything being exact? Yeah, it does. You know what? I think you could probably help in a Sunday school class and come in and just do a month's worth of lessons. What'd you do for a living, Brother Ernie? Railroad clerk. So you know something about keeping books and keeping things on the right track. I'm sorry I derailed some of you right then. But get on board. Come on. Filipinos love puns. That's good. You know, we can learn from them. Amen. You know, we need each other. Are we in this together? Amen. You know, can I tell you something that your children's church workers, they need some help. They do. They do, they do, they do, they do. We're in this together. You say, well, my children are gone. Well, Nova, come up here for a minute. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Is he worth investing in? Come on up here, pal. All right? He is worth investing in. All right? He is. You know, you say, why is that? Because the world is out to get him. He's in their crosshairs tonight, folks. Okay? They plan to take him out. Any possible way they can do that. And they don't care if it's ethical or not. In fact, unethical, who cares? The more unethical, the better they like it. You tell the world out there, ethical? Are you kidding me? Unethical. You know what? He's worth investing in. You want a drink of my water? You ain't get any. The world said, get your own. Church, we're here to help you these next 2 weeks. And people say, can you think you can help us? Absolutely. I know we can help you. You say, do you? And some would say, do you think we need help? Yes. You do. You do. The rules have changed. And unless you're equipped to deal with that, you're going to get sidelined and not even know what hit you. The world has gone crazy. You say, yeah, we know all that. We can help you. Thursday night, 6 o'clock, 6:30. 6:30. You'd be surprised what we can do together. You'd be surprised what you can do together. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, and it talks about in one accord, and that's not just in spirit, not just in body, but in being there. In Ecclesiastes, it says, whatsoever thy hand find, do it, do with thy might. So I'd like to look at the person in John chapter 21, verse 15. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And then he asked him twice more. But he didn't say, lovest me more than these. He said, lovest thou me? And Peter said, you know that I do. And he said, feed my sheep. What are lambs? I don't think Jesus made a mistake there. Children first. Children first. Why? They're teachable. There is a saying, and it is so true, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Very true. Very, very, very hard to do that. Children are teachable. Children are reachable. Children are capable. Children are keepable. They are our future. They are our responsibility. And what's the pay? In John chapter 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I encourage you to go home and read the Pied Piper. Good story. Good story. And it is so apropos to today. I'm telling you, it fits like a glove. And it is a very frightening story. It's not good bedtime reading. All right? Okay? But it would be a good story to read to your children and explain it to them and bring it into context of where we're at today. Church, we're at war. And we need to equip ourselves to go to battle. Amen? Father, we love you and we thank you and we appreciate you. And you are so good to us. We thank you for the eternal life drink that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that our children can learn, Father, that our children would love this place. Love your house, love your people, love your word, love your man, love the work, and that our children, they want to be here. It was said earlier today, Brother Danny said that children, that you have no choice. You're brought to church. But there come a day when you can choose whether you come or not. And Father, that day come that they said, I can't think of any place I'd rather be. Lord, help us to make this time and this place the most desirable thing for them in these days that we live in. Lord, that we could huddle up together, come up with a game plan, and huddle up together and to love one another and to encourage one another and to help one another and be a blessing one to another. And Father, your word says that how good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, Lord, we pray that you would take these hours that we have together and, Father, that we could just help a generation that is so under attack. And, Father, just as we learn principles from the muxox and learn the principles from a herd of elephants, that at all costs, Father, that we teach them to protect the younger, but it's those older that learn when they were younger to do in like kind. Father, help us to learn some principles that help our young people, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know, I didn't do anything as far as salvation tonight, but if you're here tonight, you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, could you raise your hand and say, I'm not sure. I'm not a Christian, I'm not saved, but I don't want to go to heaven. I want to know, and let somebody take a Bible tonight and show me how I can know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody like that? All right, okay. As there some would say, Brother Gear, I'm not involved in ministry. And look, I'm not suggesting that you become a Sunday school teacher, but there's something you could help with, whether you're in class or not. But I don't know what your plans are. But you'd say, Brother Gear, God spoke to my heart about some things, and maybe you need to get with your pastor and talk over some things with him. You'd say, Brother Gear, God has spoke to my heart about some things, and look, I'll not call you out tonight. I'll not do that, I promise. But that's you. Say, God has spoke to my heart about some things tonight in the area we talked about. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Well, I don't know how you do invitation times here, but if God spoke to your heart, you want to play? Okay. Maybe Jesus loves me. Huh? All right. And God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Maybe bring your family if you like, but there's a place for you here tonight, and you come.